The Bible and Modern Science with your host, Dr. Joseph Henson of the Science Faculty of Bob Jones University. Here is Dr. Henson.
Thank you. On our last program, we talked a little bit about octopuses as a representative of one of the very unusual and very interesting organisms that we find in the cephalopods, a member of that group of organisms. And we are attempting to demonstrate, simply because of the unique characteristics and the variety of characteristics, that the organisms that we see in nature today simply could not have arisen from some kind of a common ancestor or ancestors. Again, this is a discussion we had a long time ago, and the evolution is really is stuck with what some would refer to as a monophyletic view, that for a particular group of organisms, or in some cases for the entire animal kingdom, there was a single common ancestor. I think most evolutionists probably would not take that position, and they would argue for a polyphyletic view, which means that you had a number of different organisms which gave rise to different kinds of animals as we see them. There are advantages and disadvantages to both of those, but one of the problems with the notion that the original organisms were several is that you have, this simply increases the difficulty of providing an evolutionary origin for them. And since it is in the area of pure speculation, there really is no way of settling the argument, and there certainly is no way of providing any kind of scientific evidence in support for it. So it simply stays as a source of argument at this point. But the octopuses are unique in some respects. To my mind, perhaps the most unique is simply the fact that this is the only invertebrate organism I'm aware of where the mother will protect the young. And we had discussed some of the other unique characteristics as well. It is interesting to me that there were fossil representatives of octopuses. There are fossil octopuses that have been found in the strata that are named by the evolutionist as Cambrian strata. So you had these representatives of these organisms back at the time when there should have been only very simple organisms present. We have a part of an octopus arm fossilized over at school. My recollection is that the arm is probably 2.5 inches thick, which means that the octopus that had it must have been quite sizable. I would hesitate to guess, but I'm sure I would think somewhere in over 10, 15 feet maybe. But at any rate, they were around and were part of what some refer to as the Cambrian explosion. And it was not simply that there where you find the first fossils, you find only simple ones, but there was others that were quite complicated as well. Now, one of the other interesting organisms that is found in the cephalopoda is the chambered nautilus of poetic fame. It is very different. It has a shell, obviously, as the octopus and squid do not. It is one of three subclasses that are found in the group. The reason it is linked with the octopus and squid, one, it has tentacles. My recollection is that chambered nautilus has 60 to 70 tentacles. They have the coiled shell that usually the ones I'm familiar with are striped. Was interesting to note that there were a great many more fossil representatives of the chambered nautilus than we have alive today. It seems to me that there's only a single genus of chambered nautilus with about 6 or 7 species today. And at one time there were dozens, if not hundreds, of different kinds. But they have a shell. They also have a way of closing off the shell, but on their head they have the 60 to 70 tentacles that are there. Now, in the case of octopuses and squid, the tentacles and the arms have suckers. One of these, I think, has suckers only on the end, but at any rate, chambered nautilus doesn't have suckers. apparently they have some kind of, they secrete some chemical that serves as glue and allows them to hang on to objects because of the secretion of that. In addition, they also have eyes, a pair of eyes, so that because of the eyes and the tentacles, this is the primary reason that they are put into the same group with the octopus and squid, although they live in the shell. If you have seen a shell, or perhaps more interestingly, if you have seen a half of the shell, you know that there are, it is coiled. And what has happened is simply that as the chambered nautilus increases in size, it gets too big for that part of the shell. And they simply move out of that section of the shell and seal it off. And you have then a series of chambers in the shell itself, which are simply those portions of the shell that the organism had lived in down to the point whenever you might be looking at it alive or dead. And it's very unusual. There are all sorts of unusual and interesting characteristics about it. It's not an organism that is common even around certain areas of the beach. So even people who live on the water may or may not know a great deal about the chambered nautilus. People use them for decorations. They have a very attractive shell. And again, no organism that anyone is aware of that could have been ancestral to it. And we certainly have nothing moving away from even the fossilized forms of the chambered nautilus that occur in the geological record. It's able to float, among other things. There's a chamber where gas will collect in the organism that allows it to float, or allows a portion of the shell, usually the smaller portion of the shell, to remain upright so that it can utilize its tentacles then to crawl around. As far as I'm aware, it does not, has no jet propulsion. I may be wrong about that. I'm not certain. But it's most unusual, and to my mind is a good argument for creation and not evolution. Now, the other member of this group, the cephalopods, are the squids. Many people's only association with squids is that this is fish bait. And if you fish much on the ocean, I would expect that you would have used squid as bait at one time or another. The common squid get to be, the large ones, I think, up around a foot and a half, 15, 18 inches, somewhere in that range. This organism also has eight tentacles and two arms. And here, the arms have tentacles only on the end of the tentacle, whereas the suckers are found only on the ends of the tentacles. And the arms have tentacles throughout the entire length. The arms have suckers. I don't know why I've got tentacles on my brain here. The tentacles have suckers on the ends of the tentacle. The arms have suckers that run the entire length of the arm. And these allow the attachment of the arms to whatever. And again, can be a means of locomotion, or they can be a means of simply grasping things. Squid also are meat eaters. The squid that usually gets all of the interest and attention are the so-called giant squid. And I had made a comment previously that it is possible that they may have the longest distance from the one part of the body to the other, the longest of any of the organisms. Now, the reason for that comment, squid apparently they feed on fish, but they also are fed on by some of the whales. And much of the knowledge that we have of the giant squid, as far as I'm aware, no one has ever seen one. They apparently occur in the depths of the ocean. And much of the knowledge has come simply from the remains that have been found in the stomachs of whales. Apparently, this would be a battle I would be interested to see, probably be better than some of the ones that we see on videos, and apparently the outcome is not foregone. It is not guaranteed ahead of time that either the whale or the squid is going always to win. Sometimes one wins, sometimes the other. But there have been whales that have had been killed and caught and processed that had 3-foot sucker marks on the outside of the skin, the epidermis of the whale. Now, if you have a 3-foot sucker mark, this means that you had a horrendous squid tentacle to have that large sucker mark. And again, since no one has ever seen one, we're in the dark about much of the structure and habits and habitat and so on for the squid. But they are still very, very interesting. The length, up to the largest one I recall, I think it's 15 centimeters, not centimeters, meters, 30 to 45 feet. The eyes are very interesting. They have the largest eyes. The giant squid have the largest eyes of any animal in the animal kingdom, up to 25 centimeters. This means their eyes are going to be about 10 inches across. And there is no other animal, vertebrate or otherwise, that has eyes like that. So with their 8 arms and their 2 tentacles and the potential size for them, you can understand how they would be rather formidable foes. They also have teeth, a mouth with teeth that have tremendous crushing power, and certainly are capable of killing even fairly sizable fish. Certainly humans could be killed by such teeth. And other than discovering from the remains in the squid stomach and whale stomach, this has given some of the best information about what they eat. Just from what I have said, I think you can recognize that these are very unusual animals. And again, there is no collateral organisms to which they could have been connected by reproduction. And again, there is no ancestor that conceivably could have given rise to an evolutionary process by which these things could have arisen from a different organism.
Thank you, Dr. Henson. You may send email to Dr. Henson at jhenson@bju.edu. That's jhenson@bju.edu. Or write to Dr. Joseph L. Henson, Box 34621, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, zip code 29614, in the United States of America. You're invited to listen next time for The Bible and Modern Science.